I always strive for more, and I like the feeling of uncomfortability. I feel like it definitely leads to growth. I didn't know anyone in this industry. I just started meeting people. They gave me the goal of 5 meetings a day. Definitely learned from that and learned all about different types of people and different industries. Like, I was meeting IT people, recruiters, like just anyone who would take a meeting with me. And then you start to really build a network of people who are in your specific lane. I think business development is really how you make people feel and your name being talked about in rooms that you're not in a positive manner. But the key is following up and just being a good steward of your word, because your word is everything. Like, if you say you're going to do something, you should do it and follow through. And at the end of the day, you just have to be a genuine, authentic person and show up for the meetings that you set and follow up with the people that added value and gave you their time.
I think that's what makes a team so special, is having everybody that can do all of the things. Even if you can't explain things perfectly, you bring a different skill set than everybody else does. Welcome, everybody, to Pressure Tested. Carson, I'm so excited for you to be here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Not only are you far and away our youngest guest, but you're one of the guests I'm just most excited about, because I'm so in awe of how you do it all. I think you are so far ahead in your career for your age. And as somebody who's not still in their 20s, I'm so in awe of just like how you manage to still have all the fun in your 20s on the weekend and still get to the office at 8 a.m. Yeah. on Monday. I think that's truly
6:30 on Mondays, actually.
6:30? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I haven't been anywhere at 6:30 in the morning in 15 years. That's insane.
We just have a bunch of internal calls. I got to get prepared for the week. It just makes sense for me to be there early.
Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But what time did you go to bed on Sunday night?
I try to go to bed at like 10, but honestly, okay, like I'm not really an early bed person. Like, I can wake up early and get only 6 hours of sleep and be fine, or less. I mean, a lot of times less, especially when I'm going out and the music festivals and all the things.
Okay, I fully intend to tell everybody what Carson does and what she does really great, but I just want to talk about music for a second. I feel like you were just such a lover of music, and you build a lot of your life around going to different bands and just seeing different live music. So just kind of tell me a little bit about how that evolved into what it is today.
Yeah. So I grew up going to concerts, primarily country, like mainstream country, like we were talking about. I think Jason Aldean was one of my first concerts I ever went to. And then in college, I started to get into jam bands because it was just the Alabama thing that everyone was doing. The people I was hanging out with were listening to like Fish, Widespread Panic, and Grateful Dead. And when I went to a show for the first time, which was actually after college, because I was just broke in college, could not afford to go to shows. But after, it was, I mean, the most amazing experience I've ever had. So I just fell in love with it. And there's just no feeling or explanation to what going to a jam band show offers. Like, you just have to do it yourself is what I have to say about it. But I saw Billy Strings for the first time about 2.5 years ago, and then now I've seen him about 10 or 11 times. And people think that's crazy, but the whole lore of jam bands, especially Billy and Grateful Dead, they never play the same set list. So every single night is different. The way they play the songs are different keys, different tones, and they bring like people on stage. So it's always a unique experience. And I feel like in this day and age, when everything is AI generated, it's hard to replicate, you know, a live performance.
Okay, this is, I really like this. So when I was about 16, I went through like my Fish phase, and like,
oh my God, I think of like
a couple of songs that I will still turn on to this day. Like, I remember Wasted, Farmhouse, like those are my two favorite Fish songs. But like, Trey Anastasia stopped touring a long time ago, so
no,
is he still out there
still
doing
touring?
It?
I actually saw Fish in July in Austin.
Really?
It was so epic. That was my first time seeing them. So Then okay. I went to Grateful Dead's 60th anniversary in San Francisco, and Trey Anastasio Band was okay. opening the third night.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that was pretty epic.
So he's still out there doing his thing.
It's two different bands that he has, though.
Okay.
So Trey
okay.
Anastasio Band has, like, a full brass section. I think they have, like, violins and just...
all the stuff.
It's probably like 14 people in the band. And then Fish is only 4 people.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so. But people, I remember when I was 16 and there was like movies made about this. Like people would just follow these bands around.
Oh, that's...
what are they called?
A big thing. They're called like wooks.
Okay, I've never heard that expression, but like they build their entire life around following yeah. these bands around, and like they'll figure out like ways to sell sandwiches and like things that they do at these concerts, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is this still a thing?
It absolutely is a thing. It's called The Lot, Shakedown Street.
Wow.
And people go from show to show, just touring the whole country, selling grilled cheeses, t-shirts,
yes.
pins, patches, like everything under the sun. And of course, I buy it all. You know?
Yeah.
But it's such a fun time. And actually, so I went to Dead & Company at the Sphere.
Okay.
Oh, last year
cool.
and the year before. So it was a pretty cool experience, but they had to have the Shakedown Street inside, and it was
yeah.
like in a hotel like convention
oh, yeah.
conference
Vegas.
Area. So it was kind of weird because it wasn't outside and just, you know, there's a lot of things going on, but I think at the end of the day, what brings everyone together at those types of shows is just, like, kindness and the love of the music. Nothing else matters in that moment.
I
so,
love that.
Yeah, that's what
it's
brings
like
me back every single
repeating.
Time. Exactly. I would love to go to Woodstock.
Yeah, yeah. That's so cool.
I had no idea you were a Fish fan. That's awesome.
I have just been through so many different music genres in my life. And
so what are you at now?
You know... just recently, I kind of moved back more into, like, an indie rock phase. Like,
okay.
I'll find bands, and I just really attach to these bands. And, like, based on, like, my algorithm and my – and so Spotify will just kind of curate these playlists. And, you know, like, I listen to a lot of music. I consume a lot of music. And there's things that just stick with me, and there's things that don't. Like,
yeah.
yesterday I was here till like, 5:30, and I was, like – which is very late for a Mossy Tilly's employee. Like, we bail out of here at, like, 4 o'clock. Like,
that's great.
We're the
good
last people.
Culture. I love that.
And, like, I was just, like, I heard this song come on. I was, like, oh, my God. What? Holy crap. Like, I just stopped doing what I was doing. I was, like, that's the song, man. That's the song I've been waiting for. It's, like,
I
you just sit
that.
Back and you wait for, like, this music to come into your life, and you're, like, that's it. That's the moment.
Yeah.
That's what I needed to hear to get me to, like, my next music phase, my next day, my next hour. Like, that's it. Yeah. I'm
yeah.
a huge music fan.
And then you go on a deep dive of that artist, I'm sure.
Deep dive.
You have to see them live at some point.
I mean, I start following them on Instagram.
Of course.
For one, stalking these yeah. guys. I'm like, what city are you guys in? I'll follow you. I'll be at all of your shows.
Literally. I know. There's just something about live music. And going to smaller shows is actually where I have the most fun.
100%. So something you said, we were talking on the pre-podcast phone call, you said, I like to ask people in a business development setting, what's your favorite concert? Like, what was your favorite mm-hmm. concert moment? And I walked away from that conversation. I love insightful moments like that where I'm like, this is how she relates to people, how
yeah.
she connects to people. And I was like, what's my favorite concert experience? I had to like really think through this.
Exactly.
And I saw, don't know if you know this band, but you should check them out, Phosphorescent.
Mm-mm.
They're kind of like an indie alternative, kind of almost have a country vibe.
Okay.
They're really cool. The first time I ever heard their music, I was walking through ACL. I was like probably drunk, trying to find a sandwich. And Song for Zula came on, which is one of the best songs ever written. It came on, I heard it, and I was like, what is this song?
And it drew you in.
It's like, what is this right now?
I love that.
And then I went to one of their shows, best show I ever went to, cried like a freaking baby. It was just amazing. Like, everybody there cried. Like, it was just such an amazing experience. I'll never have anything like it again. Okay, sorry. Long music intro. We
I
are
love
done.
That.
We are wrapping that up. We are on to business. This is a business podcast, in case
yes.
anybody was curious what they were doing listening today. Carson, you're a badass at business development.
Well, thank you.
You have not been in Dallas very long, and everyone I know knows your name.
Oh, my gosh.
How does that work?
Tell
me about your, like,
career
trajectory. No, they do, man. A lot of people know who you are. For somebody so young, they already respect you so much, which I just think is incredible. Tell me about how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, so, I mean, I pretty much stumbled into this industry and this role. I started working when I was 14 at a It was Lulu's Donut Shop. My cousin owned it, so I worked there for a few years, and then I started working at a pancake house, and that really taught me, I mean, I was a server. They gave me one table. They were like, just go. And I remember just learning so many things that summer about people and how people treat you as a, like, wait staff. And so then when I went to college, went to Alabama, I had to work through college because there's just no way I could go out of state and ask my parents for money for fun things, right? So I worked at Chewy's, actually, for 1 year. That was interesting scenario, but then I started working at a fine dining restaurant, and actually, like, Nick Saban was one of our regulars, worked there for the rest of my college. I think it was like 2.5 years, and whenever I was applying for jobs in the midst of COVID, I graduated in 2021, it was just a dead market, so I got lucky and found an internship, but everything was remote. So I actually went to school for public relations.
Okay.
Which kind of
that's good.
Adds and is exactly what I'm doing now, I would say. Yeah. But I originally went for criminal justice.
Okay.
Because I wanted to be an FBI agent, which is a crazy thing. Whenever I walked into the 500-person lecture, the first thing the instructor said was, most of you guys in this room want to be FBI agents, but probably two of you will be. So I just instantly in that moment knew, like, I got to get real about what I want to do. So I went into a broader field, which public relations is essentially, in my opinion, business development. Like, they're almost the same thing.
I agree
with that. In a lot of ways.
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
So how I got into this industry specifically was I was actually working at a third-party logistics company, and I was just kind of stagnant, was behind the desk. It wasn't for me. It was a communications role.
What the heck is a third-party logistics company? What do they even do?
I know. Exactly. I was so confused. It took me like a year to learn what we even did, and I was doing the social media. So like it was essentially we owned a bunch of warehouses across the world.
Okay.
And we would employ the people to do inbound and outbound logistics, which means, so there was like car parts. So we had Mitsubishi as a client.
Okay.
They, if somebody needed a part, like a dealership or a shop would call, they would order it from the warehouse and we would bring it out to them. So it was, I didn't work in the warehouses.
Got it.
I was in the communications and marketing field, but it was a great learning experience for me because we communicated across all different cultures.
Okay,
so I learned how to communicate with a lot of different people, but I really learned what I was passionate about, and that was just connecting with people. Mm-hmm. So I actually met my previous CEO at St. Patrick's Day Parade.
I love this story.
On Lower Greenville, yeah. And he was actually wearing a music festival shirt. Okay. And I had worked that music festival the year before doing a side gig. So I'm just always like trying to make extra money here and there.
Okay.
But we hit it off and he gave me his card. He's like, you need to come do business development for me. And so I ended up working for Turnkey and Joe East for about 2 years. And then I guess I did my job so good that the companies that I was prospecting were kind of interested in me, and Moss being one of them, Moss Construction.
Yep.
And I just took a liking to everyone on the team, and they made me an offer that sounded like a great opportunity. So now I'm leading the business development efforts for the wood frame division at Moss Construction.
That's amazing. I think that careers are made in moments where you meet the right people. And I think that you had such an opportunity to get to go in and see how that company runs.
Absolutely.
It really is. Like, I always just think back to these, like, little bitty, you know, five-minute intros with different people. And I'm like, wow.
It's crazy how it can change your life.
Everything.
Right.
It's wild. You did do such a good job there.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it. It was, I mean, Mike was a great person to learn from. And he taught me the importance of really getting involved externally in other organizations. So that's, I think, what has added a lot to my career growth thus far is now I'm the events chair in Ladies in CRE for the last 2 years. And I'm now the president of the Alabama Alumni Association.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, it is a lot.
That's amazing. That's
well,
so cool. Yeah, when I met a friend of mine and she went to Alabama, I was like, she was really young, and she just like started talking, and she just had, I was like, oh my God, you need to meet Carson Elvis.
No,
like,
Maddie is amazing.
I was like, she's your person. I was like, you guys are like, y'all are it, man. Y'all are so like, this was all meant to be. I was meant to introduce you guys.
Thank you for that, by the way. I love that. She's awesome.
That's amazing. And you know, I feel like people are always in different times in their lives, you know, and she just kind of come back from college.
Right.
Didn't have a big network of people who were back from college doing what she was doing. And it was just such a, it was like a God thing. Like it was meant for me to kind of introduce you guys.
Totally.
Here's what I want to know. We talk about this a lot. So like business development is kind of something new we're doing at Moss. Like that wasn't something that we had somebody sitting in a chair doing before. We grew so fast that we never really needed it. And then we were like, well, how fast could we have grown with key relationships had we had this in place?
Right.
And so I want you to just tell me, like, what does your day look like?
Sure. Well, it's cliche, but every day is different. In business development, you never know, you know, what you're going to do. But time management is key because you do make your own schedule. So I typically have a coffee in the morning with a potential client, somebody in my network that I just want to connect with. And then I have a lunch typically. If I don't, I go to the office and I try to make my rounds at the office. I really like prioritize building internal relationships because that's my whole job, right? It's to support the operations and to bring them business and to be that liaison between the client and them. So that's important to me, is to really like spend time at the office. But so I try to go at least 3 times a week, which I think some business development people stay away from the office, which, you know, to each their own. But I think if we're all in commercial real estate, it makes sense to go to where they're paying the lease, you know, like, you know, this is the industry we're in. We're building offices. Mm-hmm. So like, that's the whole point. And I think it's really the point of life is to connect with other people. And that's something I'm super passionate about that I feel like I do pretty well. And to your point about that question that I typically ask, like, what was your favorite concert? It's just me trying to find like any sort of connection with people to see if I can, you know, get them, bring them a tidbit of information or make them laugh in some capacity. Because I think business development is really how you make people feel, and your name being talked about in rooms that you're not in a positive manner. But the key, and I don't think it's that hard, but a lot of people aren't aware of it, is following up and just being a good steward of your word, because your word is everything. Like if you say you're going to do something, you should do it and follow through. And really, I've learned that the hard way in the other external organizations that I'm in, because obviously those are pro bono work. So you get a lot of people who want to be a part of it and don't follow through with the things they committed to. And it's just tough because, you know, you can't do it all. And that's something that I've struggled with recently, is overcommitting
and
trying to prioritize really what's important to me, but also to my business and my company, because at the end of the day, like, that's my priority, you know?
I will tell you, I am about to be 37.
No, you're not.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
This is something that's so nice of you. That's so nice. I've drank today, so I know
I actually would have guessed, like, 37.
I think that, you know, overcommitting is something that I still struggle with. I mean, Silver, my assistant, probably wants to strangle me all the time because I commit to things. I'm like, Silver, get me out of this. And it's not that I didn't have the best of intentions on following through with it. It's not something that in the moment I didn't really want to do and I didn't really believe in.
Right.
It's just that I have all of these other obligations that come in the way of me and that thing. And it's like, at any day, at any given time, I have to prioritize in this moment what is the most important place that I could put my attention. And sometimes that means that I get to follow through on the things that I've committed to, and sometimes it means that I have to pivot very quickly and move on to something else. And like, I've really had to learn, you know, how do I deal with that? And so, something that you're really good at is how you connect with people. And I want to expand more on that, because this is something I don't do well. Like, I am a very, like, give me my task, let me check the boxes. I'm gonna check the boxes so much faster than anyone else. Like, I'm gonna be so good at this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, in the meantime, I forget that there are people around me doing things.
Right.
And so, like, when you said you get to the office and you go and check in with people, like, explain to me what that looks like. What do you do?
I walk by their offices, see how they're doing. A lot of times there are little things I could ask them. Especially with our senior project managers, I'm just trying to really build those relationships. So, because they're the ones really talking to the clients. So okay. I'm asking them kind of updates on anything that they've maybe discussed in the last few days. So trying to keep that communication pretty active, talking about work, but then bringing in a personal aspect and asking them about their kids or if they play golf or if they shoot. And
like, you remember these things about these people so you can
have these comments? I do. And it is hard to remember.
How do you do that? How do you do it?
I don't know. I think I have just like a picture memory. So a lot of times I have to look at their card. This is more so for people when I'm networking.
Oh gosh, I love this.
But like, I look at their card and I remember like what their logo looks like. And like, I can remember their name if they gave me a physical card. If they don't, I'm not going to remember their name. And I know that sounds crazy, but like, so whenever people give me their digital cards, I try to screenshot it, but I don't always remember to follow up. Yeah. But physical cards, there's something about it. Like, I'm an old school person in general.
Yeah.
But another way I like to connect with people, and I feel like is kind of a lost art, especially in my generation.
I know exactly where you're going with this, and I totally agree. I love this.
So I was born and raised to write thank you notes. I'm from the South. My mom told me any gift you get, you have to write a thank you note for it. And my old boss, he really like implemented that and instilled it in me. And I have just carried it through. And really anyone who gives me their time, I just thank them in a handwritten thank you note. And it's nothing special. It's just like maybe a couple sentences. And but I think it's just like the effort that you have to go through to just write it and send it is too much for a lot of people. But or they think it's weird. I don't know. I think there's a line, like if your client, you know, offices at home, maybe don't send them a note, you know, like there's, you just have to be intuitive about it.
I understand where you're going with that. Carson, when I got your note after we went to breakfast, I was like, holy smokes.
Oh
I can't
gosh.
Believe she sent me a note. I can't believe that she took the time to sit down, rethink about what we talked about at breakfast, put that down on a note, find a stamp. Like, where do the stamps live? Somebody let me know this. And send it to me. And I just thought, that's it.
Aww.
She gets it. And, you know, I've had other people send me notes since then. And people send me, I don't know why people send me stuff. But they send me gifts. And I'm like, okay, cool. But if they send me a handwritten note, but I'm like, that was so cool. Like, that meant something to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that took so much more effort than, you know, and I'm really bad about it. I'll send people gifts. I'm like, send her a bottle of champagne. It's like, no, maybe I should have sent her a handwritten note. Like, maybe that would have meant more to that person.
It goes a lot further than you'd think.
I think it does.
I think I've gotten some meetings that I probably shouldn't have early on in my career.
For sure you have.
So I'm going to keep doing it. And it's honestly why I have the job that I have now, because I was prospecting them and I sent Aaron, my now boss, a handwritten thank you note. And I was just like, thank you guys for the time. I look forward to working together. And he brought it over to Bobby Sunmaker, our commercial business development director. He was like, I want to hire this girl. So
there you go.
It's pretty awesome to see it work, like truly.
It does.
And
it really does.
I feel like that's something that my generation is just lacking, is that proactiveness. You know, they're not willing to like go the extra step, do the extra thing, stay an hour after. They're just, you know, comfortable with the status quo and willing to just be comfortable for the rest of their lives. That's something that I've never been okay with. I always strive for more, and I like the feeling of uncomfortability. I feel like it definitely leads to growth.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Have you ever done StrengthsFinder?
I have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you remember it? Tell me your top five strengths.
I think it's competition.
Oh, classic. I love that. That's great.
Woo is one of them.
Yes, yes.
Achiever.
Okay.
Maximizer. And then futuristic. That's one of them.
That's like, if somebody was going to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find somebody in business development, those are the five strengths that they would probably list to find, especially Woo. Like, that is not something that everyone has. So winning others over.
Yeah.
That's not something that everybody has. Like, you have to be, you know, here's the thing that I remember about you. And it's just one of those things because you're a girl and you're young. And I remember you and your old boss walking through the building. And my husband, he's older. He's 51. And he said, is that his daughter? And I said, that is not his daughter. Mm-hmm. Because I had already had an interaction with you. And you just immediately walked up to me and you were like, I know who you are. I know about your podcast. You just like shook my hand. And like, he was there too, but you just kind of took over the situation. And like, I immediately was drawn to you because that's you so have sweet. That winning others over. Like, you just have that natural strength. And I was just like, no, that's not his daughter. Don't say that. You know, I remember getting so upset about it.
Right.
But I'm sure you go through that a lot. Like, you really young.
Yeah. I'm definitely the youngest person in most rooms and usually the only female.
And you're also, sorry to let the world know, a super attractive female, which only makes it either easier for you or harder for you, depending on the scenario.
Yeah. I use it to my advantage because why wouldn't I, you know? I try to just make light of every situation, and Moss's core values really stuck out with me. The first one is contagious energy, and everyone's like, you just, like, embody that. Like, you that's always, good. Like, bring the light around the office, and, you know, I have my off days, as everyone does, but I feel like that's something that's important, especially in a business development role, like, I'm almost hired for the vibes, you know? Yes. Like, I was like a personality hire, essentially. But it is such an important role that, to your point, I mean, a lot of companies don't have. Mm-mm. And a lot of people overlook the value. But when you're in a company that is positioned the way we are and we're trying to win business in Dallas and really build a brand for ourselves, it just makes sense to have like a spokesperson, so to speak, for the brand. And we did only have one, Bobby. He was a commercial, but now specifically I am focused on wood frame, which is a very interesting niche, just different market.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, most people don't. And I'm not going to lie. I didn't even know for about the first week. I had to like really deep dive and I still don't know all the ins and outs, but it's essentially just framed with wood instead of steel or concrete.
Okay.
Just a more affordable type of construction. Right. So the building materials are just more affordable. It's primarily lumber rather than concrete or steel. And it's really garden style, which is three floors, open or four stories with either structured parking or surface parking. Also wraps, which means it's like internally, the hallways are internal.
Okay, yeah.
And that could go up to 7 stories. Okay. And then
They build those with wood.
They do.
I'm not trying to stop you.
No.
I'm like really good. I'm like,
that's like the highest you can go.
Okay.
So then it would go into a different type of material, which would fall into our commercial division.
Okay, so commercial division, kind of residential division. Do it you guys is, do yeah. like single family rental stuff?
Or
like
yeah, build we'll do build stuff? To rent. Yeah, we are doing a few build to rent.
Moss Heating Cooling provides HVAC for those build to rent communities if we ever that's need to get to together.
Yes, we do. We definitely do.
Now we know.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So that's really great to know.
Yeah, we've done a couple of Taylor Morrison projects.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, we do that work. I'm not going to say that we're a multifamily HVAC company because we're really not, but we like that single family application. We can definitely do that. So we should talk about that.
Okay.
But now I know what wood frame is. I didn't know before.
Sorta. I mean, I think my boss could probably explain it a lot better than me. But honestly, I think it's just the type of material that, and it's essentially just a different asset or a different class of trade partners that are just a little bit more affordable because that's their specific niche rather 100%. Than people who are doing steel and concrete day-to-day commercial work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not really competitive. Commercial subcontractors are not as competitive in the wood space.
Yeah, you're 100% right because one of the reasons we're not a multifamily contractor in HVAC is because that work is god-awful cheap.
Yep.
And we can't compete. We can't do it at that scale.
Yeah.
We've seen some of the prices around that and we just like kind of scratch our head and we're like, we either don't know how to build that or we don't understand. They have way better pricing than we do. They have way better subs than we do. Like, we just don't really understand it.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. Cause we'll do commercial work, but we can't get that cheap on work for multifamily.
So and that's wild. Totally fine. Yeah. And I think that's actually good if you stay in your one lane mm-hmm. because I feel like you'll thrive and probably get more business in the long run if you're not trying to do everything.
Yeah, I think that we've figured that out. Like, we diversify a little bit, and I think it's okay to diversify a little bit, but you definitely have to figure out what you are and aren't good at.
Yeah.
You said something to me, and I think that it's always important to point this out. You said just a second ago that your boss could explain it a lot better than you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he can. But I think that you always have to remember that that's, like, his skill set. And your skill set is being able to walk into a room and connect with somebody. Because that guy, don't know him, sure he's great, but he doesn't have that. Right. So I think that that's what makes a team so special, is having everybody that can do all of the things. Even if you can't explain things perfectly, you bring a different skill set than everybody else does. You'll figure out exactly what you're supposed to say in that scenario.
Yeah. I'm only 4 months into the role.
You're at least getting
a million things to learn. Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so we touched on your day a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we got to the morning coffee.
Yeah.
So morning coffee / breakfast. Yeah. You have somebody. You might go to the office, try to connect with people internally. You go to lunch.
Or lunches. External lunches. Or events.
How many customer touches do you think you get a week?
I would say, I mean, that's a loaded question. Per customer?
Touches and opportunities. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about how you distinguish what a true opportunity is. But, like, how many times are you outside, like, focused on the business? Like, I'm asking you this because we want to build kind of a role in Moss Heating and Cooling. And I'm like, what should I really expect from this person? Like, should they have 8 customer touches, or should they have 3 meaningful customer touches? What does it really mean?
Yeah, I think when you're new, the more the merrier. You need to meet everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I started. I didn't know anyone in this industry. I just started meeting people. They gave me the goal of 5 meetings a day. So I tried to do that, which was insane. Yeah, 5 meetings in person. But I definitely learned from that and learned all about different types of people and different industries. Like, I was meeting IT people, recruiters, like just anyone who would take a meeting with me.
Okay.
And then you start to really build a network of people who are in your specific lane. You start to get to know those people, showing up at the same events as them, which there's a million organizations, and I could get into that. But, you know, you start to really, like, build a community of business development people, and then you'll meet one-off people at different luncheons. And then I try to always follow up with people with something that I said. But truly, I feel like every day looks different and every touch point looks different. And I think that's, you're probably on par with quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. But I just think it matters where the person is in their career and where your business is at. But I am now seeing that quantity, especially as a human, you can't do everything, you right. know, like, I try to be active every single day and, like, go to an event at least 1 or 2 times a week if it's available, or just have at least 1 client meeting a week, which we don't have, like, a million clients on the wood frame side, yeah. So that's totally fine, or prospective clients as well. Right. But I'm also just meeting anyone that's in the industry who could potentially connect me to other people. So I feel like you just have to get to know people, be interested in what they do, mm-hmm. and try to connect them with maybe somebody else that you think would be valuable for them to connect with. Yeah. To your point, Maddie.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama, and she's in the industry. Like, there's all different things that you could connect with people on, but I feel like it's really important to keep creating activity also through LinkedIn. Like, there's a lot of different ways to build the role of business development, but I think at the end of the day, you just have to be a genuine, authentic person and show up for the meetings that you set and follow up with the people that you know, that added value and gave you their time, and be respectful and a steward of your word. And that's, at the end of the day, all I strive to be.
That's great. I love that. Okay, so somebody that is just starting out, maybe they're young, you know, maybe they're just starting out in business development. Like, What advice do you really give them? Do you give them the advice to say, hey, go join one of the major, like, groups, like, go join Texo, go join Ladies in CRE, which I really want to join, and I seem to not ever be able to circle back to, but...
Well, we have an event next Friday, so I'm going to show you after this.
Okay. Hopefully. All right, I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay, I will.
Hold me to actually showing up. Silver Series. So somebody help me get to this event. What do you tell them? What do you tell them what group to navigate towards?
When I started, I tried everything. I mean, I feel like you should go to everything one time, see what types of people are attending it, and see if it's valuable from a business perspective and also from a personal perspective. Because I think there's a certain balance to that. Like, you don't want to be involved in a group that doesn't reflect your personal values. Mm. So, I mean, I've gone to certain meetings where I just didn't get a good feeling after, so I never went back. But I learned, hey, that's not for me. So, yeah, I would say try out a bunch of different groups. Trek is a great one. I've gotten a lot of value out of Trek over the last 2 years. And Ladies in CRE is a great one.
It's I don't know free. That I know Trek. What?
The Real Estate Council.
Oh, very good. Yep.
I was going to say, I saw Sean at
Fight Night. It's so funny because I set that whole thing up. So that was my friend. Yeah, it was my friend. She works for J&L. I thought maybe I just got that wrong. I don't know. Her name's Gina. We were going to go because of that. I set it all up, and that was the week I hurt my back. I missed my concert. I missed that event. I missed, like, three other things that week. And literally, I'm, like, laying that in my stinks. Bed on Friday night, and I'm just, like, hating my life. I'm like, I was going to have the best week of my entire life, people, and I am seriously watching Vampire Diaries for, like, the 100th time. Like, what am I doing with my life? I was so disappointed. There was a point to this. So, Trek, so that was really good for you.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I have been involved with Young Guns, which is like the 35 and under group, for about a year and a half, 2 years. But I volunteered at Fight Night for the past 2 years also, okay. Which if you don't know Fight Night, I think everyone listening to this will probably know.
Yeah.
It's just like the commercial real estate prom is how I like to say.
I love that. Yeah, it's black tie. I was so excited it about is. The black tie part. Mm-hmm. My husband was... not excited, but I was very excited.
No, it's fun to dress up.
It's fun to dress up.
Yeah, the one, I mean, you don't do it often, right? Weddings or this or other, maybe galas, but...
My husband was definitely going to bail last minute.
Really?
So it is what it is. Yeah, that was a fight waiting to happen. He was so getting out of that.
Well, you didn't miss all too much. I think it's a valuable way to, like, really connect with other people who maybe don't go to every other event because it's such a special night.
Oh, yeah.
So I've always met good contacts. That was my third year going.
There's a ton of big GCs that go.
Exactly.
Everybody. Like, yeah. Everybody. The who's who goes to that event, for
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. So I recommend Trek because it's... also the biggest real estate organization in Dallas. I think there's 4,000 members or something. But Crew is another one that a lot of people love. I'm not a member yet. I think I might join soon. But I would just empower people to find a cause that makes sense for them, their business, and maybe a separate one that they're also passionate about that's separate from their business, you know? So for me, it's Alabama Alumni. And I just have a big passion for connecting people in general, but something that I've really taken a lead on in the last year is creating a mentor-mentee program. Okay. And I'm just trying to build out the people on my board because truly it's all about your people. You know, you can't do it all as a president.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like delegate the work properly. So that's something that I'm learning. But I brought on somebody recently who has a mentor who she meets with from Alabama biweekly. So she's like the perfect person to help, you know, start this.
I love that.
So I've seen a gap between the older alumni and the younger, and I feel like there's a real opportunity to connect people, to get people jobs, you know, to build business relationships. There's a lot of unknown when people don't know each other, you know, and then why wouldn't we connect? We all went to Alabama. We all live in Dallas. Those are two massive things. And I think, like, for the ladies organizations, we're all in Dallas. We're all women. It's already a men's dominated industry,
for sure.
Like, it's an easy, that's probably the easiest way for a woman in the industry to get started is to start with a women's oriented organization.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I love the part about Alabama, too. I just think you have such a oh my gosh, I know why this is. It's because you have the futuristic. You can like see how to connect people, and you move forward on it. That's really cool. Okay, we're going to do something very different for the Pressure Tested podcast. We are going to talk about politics, which is something that I haven't normally wanted to talk about because I feel like it's just, you know, such a divided world, and I could go down a whole hundred list of how social media has divided the world and blah, 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 blah. But I'm going to focus on you. I think you talk about politics, and I think you show who you are on social media in a very just classy way. And I really like that about you. So Tell me a little bit about your passion behind some of the stuff that you support on social media.
It definitely spirals from how I was raised. My mom is extremely passionate and very conservative. I kind of have moderate, more conservative leaning views, but I just think in a world where everything is publicized, a lot of people are being fed false information. And I think that is the true, like, downfall of politics right now, is people are scared to have a just regular conversation with people who don't have the same opinion as them. And now, I mean, violence has brought into it. And it's sad, because in a world where, I mean, in a country where we have freedom of speech, and you get demonized for saying something that's truly like your opinion and where your values and morals stand, and you lose friends over it. But it's just a part of life. I think a lot of people put their emotions over anything, over logic, especially my generation. And they see, you know, our leader as somebody who is a fascist, whatever you want to call it. But they don't know what is really going on behind the scenes. And I will say, I don't think anyone knows what's going on behind the scenes. And I think that's the true, like, terrible part of it, is really like they're trying to pin both sides against each other and make us just hate each other. And when we should all just be okay with talking openly about our views.
Congratulations on being able to have an opinion and being open about, willing to talk to people about that opinion. I think a lot of women I know, a lot of people I know, have such a strong opinion one way or the other that they can't sit and have an intelligent conversation about that. So congratulations on being so young and being able to have that conversation.
Well, I appreciate that.
I think that there are a lot of people that look up to you for that, and I think that that's super important. And I think that that's part of people's brand and who they are, is what they believe. And I totally agree with this idea that, like, you know, if you're really going to just cause a country to go into like civil unrest, like, how do you do that? Well, you like pin them all against each other.
Exactly.
And like, how do you pin them all against each other? Well, create this platform that they can all fight each other on, and, you know, blow up these ideas and feed them all misinformation about how things really are, and let's just see what happens. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's like where we're living right now, and it's just a wild world. I'm somebody that kind of just like did a very difference in opinion, like from the time that I was young. Like, I just didn't have a lot of people telling me what to believe. And so I kind of picked a side, and I picked, like, I grew up very liberal. I had all these different beliefs. And like, as I've gotten older, I've become so much more conservative, but I'm still one of those people that are have a lot of central beliefs. And I always feel like I'm one of the few people in the room that can sit down and just have an open conversation with people about what they believe and walk away from that room without saying, God, what an idiot for them to think that way. Mm-hmm. It's like, why can't we just all be a little bit more tolerant to having open conversations about politics? Like, why do we live in this world? Like, this is crazy to me.
Right. I'm in complete agreeance. I feel like it's so divided, and I've lost a lot of friends in the past, really, year. But I feel like you just find out who really matters in your life. And if they respect you as a person, they'll respect your opinion and agree to disagree. But that's just, it's hard to find those type of people. There's just, you know, there's people on far both sides. And I know people who are extremely radically conservative, and it's a lot of times excessive. or the other way around, but I feel like them trying to pin us against each other is just exactly what they want to happen, especially with social media and everything evolving and everything being able to be publicized immediately. It's a cruel world. So
it is a cruel world.
Hopefully we can, you know, bring light to just open-mindedness and having just honest and understanding conversations, because I feel like a lot of times when you try to talk to somebody on a different side than you, they just kind of throw back aggressive comments and no true, like, response that was researched or facts, really. And it's hard to have a civilized conversation with those people. And they're just not willing to open their mind to other views. So I feel like, I don't know, my biggest thing is I feel like everyone should be open to listening, you mm-hmm. know, and open to hearing other people's opinions, even if you don't agree with them.
This was so good. I'm so glad that you were the person that I got to have this conversation with. I think you did so well. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This is amazing.